Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
No. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, tell me what you thought of Stardust.
It was cute.
All right. So, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is, You Want Me to Watch What? Man, it feels like forever since we've recorded.
Yeah. It kind of feels that way. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So, anyway, for those of you who've not listened, You Want Me to Watch What? Justin and I, we recommend movies that have slipped under the other's radar, and then we talk about them. We don't do any prep with each other beforehand, so the conversation can sometimes get a little bit weird.
Sometimes?
Sometimes. So today, we watched Stardust, a movie about how Daredevil must track down Juliet to prove his love for Cobra's Baroness by defeating Catwoman before the Baroness marries Superman. All narrated by Magneto.
Yes.
And
I did not make some of those connections while watching it, but now that you've said it, I can't unsee it.
And if that doesn't make you want to watch the movie, then you may as well just shut us off now, because the actual movie, while very... Oh, and Daredevil's mother is, or father is somehow Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes.
So... Stardust is a fantasy adventure in the same, I'm going to say, in the same school as The Princess Bride.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
High fantasy adventure with, you know, cartoonishly evil villains who know that they're evil and kind of enjoy being evil. Hero that seems to need to either prove themselves or to rise up above their station. Mm-hmm. In order to be heroic, the lovely damsel in distress, it all just kind of works. And it's one of those shows that you watch and you go, you know what? I bet this is going to have a happy ending. And you're pretty much going to be right. The story follows Tristan. I mean, well, it doesn't start with Tristan. It starts with Dunstan trying to get past the wall. What is the wall? It's only vaguely defined, but it's a wall.
It's a plot point.
It has
a big, you know, gaping hole in it.
Yeah.
Literally.
That splits up the real world with the fantasy world. Anyway, Dunstan crosses and gets a chick pregnant, and 9 months later gets a baby out of it. Good for Dunstan.
Yeah,
18 years later, you know, that baby has grown up and wants to marry Victoria. Victoria doesn't really return his affections, although she is certainly not as cartoonishly evil as some other, some others of the vein. You know, she at least tries to stop Superman from beating him up, or at least stops him from beating him up too much.
She shows displeasure at it, but she doesn't go out of her way.
Be nice. I'm going to string him along for a while, but you be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fairly benign. Anyway, in order to try to prove his love for Victoria, who's going to get married to Humphrey, played by Henry Cavill. Yeah. Humphrey played by Henry, not Henry played by Humphrey.
Superman.
Yes. He promises Victoria that he will track down a fallen star. Turns out that when you cross the wall into the fantasy land, fallen stars are not just sparkly rocks, but are in fact sparkly, beautiful women named Claire Danes or Yvain. Turns out stars, the heart of a star is also good for, besides making hammers, also good for keeping witches young. So we meet Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
know, Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman, to be precise.
Yes.
Which is still one of the best Catwoman.
Absolutely.
She and her sisters, she's the one who wins the, I guess, competition by cheating in order to become beautiful because they only have a little bit left of the last fallen star's heart.
Who I think was and also played by Claire Danes.
Probably.
Except that with brown hair.
Yeah. So, this is what's going on. You've got Tristan, who needs to track down the star in order to prove his love for somebody. And you've got the witch, who needs to track down the star in order to harvest its heart to stay young and beautiful. That's pretty much it that's after the star.
After the star? Yes.
But the star gets knocked out of the sky because Peter O'Toole threw a ruby that he'd sucked all of the color out of into the sky. And the ruby, now looking like a diamond, hits her and comes down. And he had 7 sons, of which 4 survived?
Yes, 4 survived.
4 survived. Secundus, Primus, Septimus, and Tertius. And says, whoever gets the ruby gets to be king. And then we get to watch the princes basically kill each other. The one, Secundus, goes and looks to the heavens, and one of them just pushes him over the edge. And I love the ghost princes, because each time they die, until there's a new king, they don't get to actually ascend into the next plane of existence. And so you just have the ghosts of the princes kind of sitting around looking like they did when they died. And just kind of
that was a nice
having
touch.
To keep each other having to keep each other company, you know. So one has an axe just sticking out of his head the entire time. One of them looks like he was burned, probably.
Yeah.
You know, another one, the one that gets knocked out of the castle, his face is all smushed on one side, his hair all looking one direction. But the star now has the diamond ruby necklace thing that will make a prince into a king. And so on and on and on. There's other stuff that goes on, but I feel like I'm just dragging it out. Tristan finds Yvain. He finds the star and they almost get caught. And one of the princes dies, where we find out that the blood is blue, which was also a nice touch.
It was.
You know, Prince gets his throat cut, and it's just this blue blood that comes out and stains the bathwater. I enjoyed that. I thought that was funny. But they escape, and they end up on the ship of Captain Shakespeare, played by the Godfather.
Robert De Niro, as in De Niro himself. Yep.
Who is a very, you know... Oh, his reputation precedes him. This is a terrifying man right up until he's not.
Yeah.
And then he is this very effusive sophisticate,
mm-hmm.
you know, who loves art and music and fencing and fashion and has a love of, you know, this faraway fantasy land called England. Which is how he picked his name from the, you know, from the fictional playwright Shakespeare. And so I think of a wordsmith and all of my crew think Shakespeare. Ah!
Yep.
And I tell you, he is probably my favorite character in the piece.
Agreed.
I loved Captain Shakespeare. Depending on your your perspective, I could also see people just absolutely hating De Niro doing this, because it's De Niro at his goofiest. You know, when he's dancing around to the thing with the feather boas and the fans and so forth. It's just like, but he looks like he's having so much fun. Like, let the man have fun, because this is, when was it, 2012? 2007.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 2007 De Niro, this is when he's, before he got too old to do the fun stuff.
It's before War with Grandpa.
This is absolutely true. So, while on Captain Shakespeare's ship, Tristan learns how to fence. He, you know, he learns how to, you know, take care of himself and kind of go from boy to man. And when they let out, he's supposed to take Yvain to Victoria to prove it. The problem is that if Yvain, if the star passes the wall, she's going to turn into a shiny rock. She can't go past it because in the real world, stars are not made out of people. People might be made out of stars if you're a Carl Sagan fan.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, long story short, the witch, too late. I know. I'm sorry. I just watched it and I'm trying to put all of the things together, all the plot threads. The witch captures the star. Tristan and the final remaining prince, Septimus, track down the witches, kill 2/3 of the witches before the prince is killed. And then the final witch is killed with a deus ex machina of the star suddenly being able to shine super bright again. And then we find out that Tristan is actually a prince because his mother was the princess who was enslaved by a different witch named Ditchwater Sal. And they reign for like 80 years and then become stars again. Well, Tristan becomes a star for the first time.
Yes.
But so this is, to me, a pure escapism type of movie. It doesn't ask you to think terribly hard about anything. It asks you, I guess probably the biggest thing it asks you to do is to just sit back and let it wash over you. Because there's the special effects are pretty decent, especially the magical ones. There are good bits of Neil Gaiman that kind of shine through in the sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
and in the character beats and points. And honestly, I like this adaptation of Stardust just because the book, there's like a whole bunch of other stuff in the book. I don't know if you've ever read it.
I've started it. Okay. Sidebar for a moment, folks. Neil Gaiman is one of my favorite authors. I've read just about everything he's done, even his nonfiction stuff. He's just a very good writer. However, Stardust is one of his very early works, and it kind of shows. So it was very hard for me to get going, and then I put it down, and I've just never picked it up again.
So it's one that I really enjoyed, and probably because it's one of the earliest Neil Gaiman's that I read. So
see, yeah, I read it after reading like American Gods and Coraline mm-hmm. and the Graveyard Book and a bunch of his other good stuff. And I'm just like, this is a little rookie-ish for me now.
So, which, you know, this is why anyone should always read books in the order that the author publishes them.
Yeah, fair.
Just straight up. If you find an author and you're just like, I wonder about this, start at the beginning. Because the bones of what makes it great will still be there.
Yes.
Or you talk to somebody who knows and they say, okay, ignore the first 4 books.
Yeah.
And then after that, start at the 5th book. So talk to me. What did you think? What was going through your mind as you were watching it? This is you know, not super old. This isn't like a childhood movie for us.
No, it's not.
Passed over. I mean, both of us were 25 years old and probably newly married when this came out.
Yep. So it was a little long. I think they could have edited it down a little bit more because a mm-hmm. 2-hour plus runtime was a little much for something that was meant to be a high fantasy, not necessarily a comedy romance fantasy movie. 2 mm-hmm. hours and 8 minutes was just a little long. However, it was an enjoyable movie, and I agree wholeheartedly. The scenes with De Niro were one of my favorites, just because it's Robert De Niro getting to act silly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite enjoyable. The deus ex machina at the end where, oh, I'll just shine really bright and kill the witch. And I'm just thinking, you know, for about $600, you could get a flashlight that is 100,000 lumens, and it would probably do the same thing.
Perhaps.
You still could have gotten the girl and saved yourself a lot of trouble. But it was fun. Mm-hmm. It's something that, kind of like The Princess Bride, where you got to be in the mood for it. You know, it's not...
Yeah.
I love The Princess Bride, but it's not something I want to watch every day.
Okay.
It's an okay movie. Yeah.
So this is a movie that I said to my spouse, I said, the problem that I have with the movie, and that I'm in the same boat as you are, I don't want to watch it frequently,
mm-hmm.
is that there's a lot of time spent showing that time is passing.
Yeah.
But it's not really developing the characters. It's not developing the world. It's just, you know, there's a whole set of scenes in which Tristan is shown learning how to fight, you know, with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those could all be compressed down.
Yes.
You know, and it's not a huge amount of time, 4 or 5 minutes. But take that 4 or 5 minutes to 1 minute, and suddenly you've saved a bit of time. Now you're under the 2 hour mark for the actual movie.
You know, see,
like two hours and 7 minutes, but there's a lot of credits.
Yeah. I would take a slightly different route. I thought that whole sequence on the ship was perfect as it was. I would have trimmed down other aspects.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the kind of movie that's supposed to build up tension so much because, you know, okay, this is the bad guy. These are the good guys. It's going to have a happy ending. That's how this works. So
right.
You cut down some of those scenes a little bit.
The scenes where it shows Ditchwater Sal's carriage and Michelle Pfeiffer's carriage all racing to get to the star at the same time.
Yeah.
That goes on and on and on. And Tristan running after he almost fights Superman.
That goes on, you know, way too long.
It's like, it's like this great big 3-4 minute thing, which doesn't sound like a lot of time until you realize that it's spending 3 to 4 minutes just showing people racing.
Yeah. Septimus's death scene where he's, quote, drowning. That just felt like it went on and on and on. The other side to that coin is using his dead body as a golem to sword fight was kind of cool.
One of the best sword fights probably in modern fantasy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just ridiculous and odd and wonderful. And the princes, every time he gets slashed or stabbed, they're all just like, oh, never mind, he's dead.
Yeah. I like when he starts fighting, all the ghosts look at his ghost like, what are you doing? It's like, it's not me.
I'm here with you guys. So, but at the end of the day, it's still a watch it for me, and I'm glad that I watched it today. You know, it still reminds me that a movie can be fun even if it's flawed.
Yes, and
so
it reminds me that when I sat down to watch this, I was in a bit of a foul mood. Just was one of those days, and just one thing after another. But I sat down and I watched it, and by the end of it, it was like, okay, my mood did not cloud this movie because the movie was able to speak for itself. Sometimes you go into something in a particular mood and you come out and it just skews the whole view of it. That was not the case here. I'm not saying that it put me in a better mood, but I did chuckle. I did enjoy the movie, and at the end of the day, It stood on its own, and that's good.
Well, cool. So, it's at least it's a see it for me, and probably a see it for Justin.
Yeah, it's a see it for me.
Yeah. So, that's all I got to say. I mean, I could probably come up with a dozen trivia pieces about it, but really, it's a harmless fantasy movie that is meant to be enjoyed by somebody who's probably 12 and up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't go much younger than that.
No.
But 12 and up with some parental supervision to be able to say, now don't forget, it's a fantasy. Everybody, a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who need to be all right will be all right.
Yes.
All right. So that means it's your turn.
Yes. I think I got some.